Hello, everybody. Before we jump into today's episode, we have two sponsors we want to say thank you to for supporting this show. The first one is Routine. You guys have heard me talk about Routine, honestly, back from the early days of the podcast, and it's still a product I use every single morning. They have a prompt for me here. I'm going to do a little impromptu on this ad read today because, honestly, this is a product that I truly believe in, and so I'm just going to tell you guys exactly what I think and why. First and foremost, this is a stat that they shared, but when you sleep, you lose between a pound and a half of water. And most of that's just sweating while you sleep. I used to not know if that was actually true, to be honest. I felt like a pound to a pound and a half of water seemed like quite a bit while I slept. But the one thing I did constantly pay attention to when I started using Routine was just the fact that before using Routine, I always felt a little dehydrated in the morning. And I'm one of those people that when I get up really early usually. I work out. One of the first things I do is some form of fitness. It's just like what I do before everyone's awake. And so it's very easy for me to grab a coffee, you know, pre-workout, an energy drink, something with caffeine in it, and just go. When I am good about using Routine first, I basically come in these little single serve packets. They contain half an organic lemon, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, Himalayan sea salt, all six essential electrolytes, and they have no sugar in them at all. A lot of hydration products are going to have sugar. So one of the things about routine that I love is that there's no sugar in there. So when I am good about doing this consistently, I will take one of those single serve packets, I'll throw it in my mixer bottle. And whether I also put in a pre-workout or something with caffeine, or I just drink that separately, I try to drink that first. And the days I do that, I do genuinely feel hydrated and just have a different form of clarity all morning. A lot of people have tried to make their own homemade versions of Routine, right? You see people they take a shot of the apple cider vinegar, and they put a little sea salt, a little lemon in a drink. This is essentially that, but in a product that you can take with you on the go, have it ready for you first thing in the morning. I know me personally, when I'm groggy rolling out of bed, the last thing I want to do is, you know, squeeze a lemon, cut lemons up, go get the apple cider vinegar, find my sea salt. I just rip this packet open, throw it in my water, drink it, and it's good to go. You can try yours today. If you haven't tried it yet and you've been listening to this podcast for years, just try the damn Routine. Give it a shot. You can use code ShaneWhite30 and get 30% off your first order. So you get 30% off by using code ShaneWhite30 and go to yourroutine.com. To make it even easier, I've added the link to yourroutine.com in the show notes. So just click on the show notes for this episode, click on the link to yourroutine.com, and don't forget to use code ShaneWhite30. All right, guys, today's episode is also brought to you by NeuroRoast. Again, I'm going to go a little off script here. NeuroRoast is a product that I also came across during this year of 2023. They are a coffee brand, coffee company that's helping you optimize your brain function and overall well-being. This is another product that, to be honest with you, when I first started working with it, I was a little on the fence. I was like, do I really want to have mushrooms in my coffee? Well, folks, I will tell you, when I use NeuroRoast, one of the things that has stood out to me the most is I'll back up. People that know me know that I have way too much caffeine, typically. One of the things this year I've done a good job of is cutting out alcohol. Not completely, but predominantly, I don't touch a lot of alcohol anymore. What I think I've actually done the other way, though, is added a lot more caffeine. So I do definitely drink too much caffeine. That's something I need to work on next year, is to try to minimize how much of that. But NeuroRoast is something that has actually helped me. Because of the way they've formulated their coffee, like unlike regular coffee, which is, you know, still something I consume, but NeuroRoast specifically doesn't cause jitters or crashes. Mushroom coffee provides more balance and sustained energy, allowing you to stay focused and productive throughout the day. So the times I do use NeuroRoast, I'll be honest, I just don't feel that jittery, like, ugh, I'm jumping out of my chair or standing here at my desk, jumping around feeling. So give NeuroRoast a try. They have some really good flavors. I'll be honest too, the two guys that started NeuroRoast are just really good dudes based out of New York, and they're hustling, and hopefully they can get some people to try NeuroRoast this holiday season by listening to this podcast. So for you folks who've been on the fence, I'm telling you, it tastes delicious. They've done a fantastic job of making this coffee not only be functional, but taste fantastic. And if you want to try NeuroRoast, you can use code ShaneWhite. So it's super simple, just ShaneWhite at checkout. you'll also get 30% off. So if you go to neuroroast.com, and once again, I have added that to the show notes. So just click into the show notes while you're listening to this episode. You can click on NeuroRoast link directly. Don't forget to use code just Shane White, and you'll get 30% off your order. Hope you guys love both these products. I'm trying to not only bring you guys products that I use, but that I believe in on the podcast. I'm not taking ad reads for any brands that I don't really believe in. So anyway, hope you guys love both those products, yourroutine.com and neuroroast.com. I've added those links to the show notes. I hope you guys love it. And I got an awesome guest coming up right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Shane White Show. I'm pumped today to have Adam Guggenheim from Manu Skincare on the podcast. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Shane. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
I'm pumped to have you. I was said right before we hit record, we've been going back and forth a little bit on LinkedIn. Transparently, I haven't had a skincare brand on here, which is one I've been wanting to have. So you're the first.
Awesome.
Yeah. Had all kinds of CPG products and brands and food, beverage mostly, and skincare is one that I'm a novice in and just starting to learn a lot about as a guy. And I'm pumped to have you on.
So far, how do you enter the category?
Yeah, it's a great question. Only Skin is a brand that I've helped actually on with my business. So I don't know if you've heard of them. That's the first one I've ever had. My entry though was before that. My wife is big into it. Mm-hmm. And she's had me try a million products, to be honest. I'm like, sure, honey, that's fine. Like whatever if you're doing something where we're both getting ready for bed, I'll throw some on my face. And then I've never known if it worked, if it didn't, maybe if I'm consistent with it. I feel like I'm sure you'll get into this. I've never been consistent before. I've tried the Only Skin product is the only one that I've ever done at any sort of consistent basis, but I'm weird, Adam, too, and I don't know if this is a guy thing. I, at the end of the night, usually, and I have a bad habit of working pretty late, and so like when I want to go to bed, I'm usually like a whole skincare routine. I don't. For me, sometimes I'm like, screw it. Like I'll do like one thing and use one product to wash my face, totally. But I'm transparently not the best at being consistent when it's time to go to bed and do like the nightly skincare routine. So
well, good news. We're going to talk to you about the importance of the morning routine versus the evening routine.
Oh, love it. Okay. All right. Well, Adam, first and foremost, then would you mind just giving everyone a little bit of an intro to you, who you are, your brand, and then would love to dive into all that.
Yeah. So, you know, I also was never initially that enthused or knew a lot about skincare, but that's when I was a teenager. And I was an artist. So I was an art major in college. I was majoring fine art in art history and lived in LA and had a friend who was head of the creative department for Neutrogena back in the day.
Okay. Yeah.
This was back in the mid 90s before it was bought by Johnson & Johnson. And it was a unique opportunity that he said, like, I like what you do. I love your artwork. I'd love you to join. And it was an opportunity to join Neutrogena at a very small scale. And I never left. So I've worked in skincare. I'm in my early 50s. I joined in my teens.
Wow.
And never left the industry.
Cool.
And I think, you know, not a lot of people do that. And I think for me, sort of what was important to why did I stay was number one, starting with Neutrogena, because it was a brand that had a lot of sort of substance to it.
Sure.
A lot of connection to dermatology. But it was also founded by people that were very creative and artists. Like they love arts. They love collecting art. And they saw the artistry in terms of like, how do you create things that are going to be beautiful, but also durable and meaningful. And so that's how I entered the industry years and years ago, worked my way up to being actually head of global marketing for Neutrogena years later.
Yeah.
So worked in.
What a start. And then to get to that.
I know.
Just that in itself is really cool in your story.
Not a lot of people go from intern to then being actually global head. And that was an amazing experience. But also taking away from that experience, it's kind of like, what did you really learn and what would you do differently in something of your own? And that's a lot of what Manu is. And so I've joined with some partners, one I worked with at Nestle. Also, she's sort of helping us in terms of the emerging and the entrepreneurial side of like, how do you actually start up a business from scratch, venture prototyping. We've also got deep R&D experience because one of our additional partners that makes us a little bit unique is she actually did a lot of the big technologies at Johnson & Johnson for Neutrogena.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So Neutrogena is now number one in sun care in the United States. So we went from zero to the biggest. And a lot of the core technologies were hers that she worked on. And so now part of our team. Yeah. And this is a lot of sort of very similar to her in terms of she worked in the industry for a very long time. And this is her ability to say, like, how would I do my enduring mark of, like, what's my signature as I am a much more mature, sophisticated, like, this is on our own. What would we do? And then we also work with a board certified dermatologist who helps guide what we're doing. So it's a team of four coming together, very different stages in life, but all with sort of this common sense of like what's really important in terms of our lives, but also how it relates to skincare and trying to do something that's not just fun and interesting, but important, hopefully.
Yeah, very, very cool. And for you, I mean, going all the way back to when you were a teen and just getting the chance to work with Neutrogena at a, you know, a small scale, did you ever envision later in life that you'd be an entrepreneur and trying to start your own venture? Was that always in the cards?
I always wanted to do something entrepreneurial. And I always thought, oh, I'll just start at Neutrogena. It's fun. It's a very creative environment. And it was growing like crazy. And it was a good sort of base. But I always thought I'd do something very different, probably more towards the arts versus in skincare. But I always knew from the very beginning, this is what I wanted to do, is something on my own, something creative on my own.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, that's cool that you went out, started something just to kind of get experience, to take on an exciting opportunity, and then you just stuck with it. What was it you think early on, let's say in your, you know, 20s, even in your 30s, that kept you excited and kept you wanting to stay at, you know, at Johnson & Johnson?
I think it was really the specific culture of Neutrogena itself, because the back then it was still the founders, and the founders sort of culture really stayed with the company.
Oh, that's great. And hard to do.
Hard to do. And but that was part of being on, we were based in Los Angeles versus J&J's on the East Coast.
Sure. Yeah.
New Jersey. So it was a new venture for even J&J to sort of scale up what they were going to do in consumer, and definitely in skincare and adult skincare. It was just something new, and they gave it a lot of latitude to sort of grow on its own. And that gave a very unique opportunity that you could build a brand that had really great DNA in terms of substance, science, quality, but then very creative in terms of, there was just such new thinking in terms of how the brand could crop up in all kinds of new and exciting ways. So it was really the culture and the people, I think, that kept me there and made me always like very passionate to be working on something that you thought was like meaningful.
That's really cool. I was at our the protein bar company, RX Bar, back before the acquisition with Kellogg. And that was my first time being at a company that gets acquired and you get rolled into the parent company. And it's tough to do. I can say just from experience, I mean, that was a challenge in general long term, was like the scrappy entrepreneurial style that RX Bar, what made it special. And coming into an organization like Kellogg, it's been in the food industry for over 100 years. It's hard to do. It's just like, it's like two tides meeting that are just totally different in ways of working. So that's really cool that you got to experience that. And so for you, you keep working your way up the ladder. Were you trying to create your own products on the side at all during this, this stretch?
No,
you just were always, maybe you can't even say,
No, I was never, it was always after I left J&J that I actually said, okay, stepping back, because foundationally then you'd sort of have to plan out, okay, what would it be? And knowing that a lot of, especially in skincare, you go to third-party manufacturers, you say, I want a twist on this formula and we'll make it our own. Versus I think we were trying to say, I was trying to get into it in terms of like, how would you create something that's really specific IP that pushes the industry forward? Because I think that was one of the learnings of J&J in terms of like, how do you actually differentiate and make things meaningful? It was really trying to have something that was more substantive. And so that was going to take an effort leaving J&J in terms of how is that possible at a startup? How would you do that?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And so fast forward now to Manu. What was, can you walk everyone through who's listening? Because this is one of my favorite parts of the journey. Like, you've been at J&J for a long time. You've obviously had a very, very successful career. What was day one of starting Manu like? Do you remember back to whether it was, you know, reaching out to one of your co-founders or having a product you were working with? Do you remember some of the early days and just like kicking the idea, kicking the tires, trying to figure out what it is you were going to do?
Yeah, it was, you know, very specific. I kept the email in terms of like the specific day and what it was. And it was, the first day was talking to the person who was going to do our R&D, because we had worked together for a long, long time. And saying, I'd like, she had actually then left and started her own independent lab.
Oh,
so she was creating her own bespoke formulas for different customers. And I talked to her about like work, you know, our experience at Neutrogena and what was really most meaningful to us, but also was underpinning like, what did you really learn? What was the experience that you learned? And we both agreed in terms of what was going to be most important, which is really from a dermatological standpoint, you know, skin is your largest organ. And so what is its function? It's the body's wrapper. And so the most important thing to do is to protect the health of your wrapper, which gets you to daily SPF. So any dermatologist around the world would say daily SPF is the most important critical thing. If you're going to do one thing for your skin, that's it. The majority of skin aging and damage is all driven by the sun. It's actually not intrinsic aging. It's extrinsic. But actually, how do you do it in a way that's beautiful, well done, that people actually want to use it, because the category is really a mess in terms of legal, regulatory changes, ingredient questions. It's a lot of problems, which is so sad because it's such an important foundational tool for people's health. And so it was very clear, like that was the big learning coming out of Neutrogena in terms of how do you turn something that's essential into something that's beautiful. And Neutrogena was very good at that.
Mm.
But science, technology, culture had moved on. Like, what's the next iteration? And so it was very clear what the foundation of the brand was going to be, this dermatological truth. How do you create a derm-driven brand based on the latest science and a design of product and portfolio around that sort of very clear unifying idea of like what's most essential? How do you make it beautiful? And then we built a team. My co-founder came in, and again, she was venture-backed. In terms of venture building was her experience in terms of like, well, let's put the puzzle pieces together about how we actually go about building a brand new brand.
Love that. I mean, it's really interesting, Adam, because as you're explaining all that, I'm thinking through my experience. And it's funny, like a very quick aside, my uncle for a long time was one of the most well-known oncologists in the U.S., and so he's always harped on me and all of our relatives, you know, sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen. Like anytime we're with him in the sun, it's like sunscreen. When's the last time you put sunscreen on? What was it? So growing up, I always felt like sunscreen was the most important thing. But then I'll be honest, I feel like over the last few years, you know, everyone's paying attention to different sources of information. But the ones I've been listening to, I feel like I've actually started to be like, wait, aren't some of the sunscreens like full of chemicals and things maybe we shouldn't be using? And so I've gone down the rabbit hole, and I have a friend who even started like I'm going to butcher this, but it's the ingredient that makes it just very white. And so he's got something that I use that's, you know, has a very white after use.
Usually it's zinc or titanium.
I think it's zinc. I should know this, but yeah, it's so long story short, just saying like, even me, who I feel like I've probably been a little bit closer to some people who talk about skin, and I've had skin cancer in my family. I've always gone, like, I've been so confused. There's just so much out there and there's so much information. But then to hear you say today, like, SPF's the most important, like, that's news to me. I'm like, shit, how did I not know that? That seems wild. And if I don't know that, I'm sure the average consumer probably doesn't know that either.
Which is, you know, largely way too true. And that's why skin cancer is still an epidemic in the country and around the world. And even, you know, the nomenclature of the category, there's skin care and there's sun care. So they're separate ideas, which foundationally is incorrect. Like you don't think of moisturizer as a separate category from skincare. It is skincare. And yet we just from the basic language itself says sun care is different from skincare, which is not true. Sun care is the basis of good skincare. And, you know, to the point of like, it's a lot about why do people not want to do it is like, you're told you have to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of dermatologists would say, the best sunscreen is the one you want to wear. That's a very sort of well-known trope in the industry. So again, like that's sort of the base of what we've tried to do is how do you turn something that's essential, number one, communicating that it's essential, but in terms of saying you have to do it, turn it into something that's luxurious and turn it into something that's aspirational.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
But using the technology, because you then get into like, a lot of the problems around the industry right now is pretty much all the chemical sunscreens are being questioned in the U.S. The FDA is asking the industry for more data. It's very challenging to get that data across the industry. There's questions about animal testing and wanting to do it. FDA is not approving any of the newer chemical filters that are available mostly out of Europe. But underneath that are these technologies that are the oldest really from like ancient times, like zinc and titanium. The reason why, which are called physical or mineral sunscreens, and that's all we're using, but they're the oldest technology and they tend to be, oh, isn't that the white one? That makes my face white and it's right. Nasty.
Yeah. You know, exactly what I just said.
Right, exactly. So the idea is like, how do you take something that's really safe, which we're going to be all mineral based, we are all mineral based, but make it beautiful and make it aspirational. So it's not this like, ugh, experience of like, why am I putting this on? It actually feels like luxurious skincare. It's not whitening. It actually feels like quality high-end skincare. And that's really the science of what we needed to do and why we took, you know, several years and, you know, countless prototypes to actually do it. And not just with anybody, but again, like with somebody who was an R&D, who was a thought leader in terms of pushing the science of sun care, especially in the United States, forward. So it's we're not the first one to say, how do you reinvent sunscreen to be safer and better? But the technical sort of underpinning that you need to do it is really, really, you know, incredibly complex and takes time to do.
Got it. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. Do you feel like part of you guys building this brand is going to be wrapped around education? Like, is that a big piece of the marketing and really getting it out there? I feel like it has to be such a big part of what you have to do.
Totally. And that's kind of like, why are we doing this? Is this really meaningful as a venture, something to do? And I think that that's the sort of the value that we think is going to be important, is that it does take new brands to go out there and say, here's a better way to do sunscreens. That really takes the compromise out of the category and turns everything about it aspirational. It's safer, it's more sustainable, it's more luxurious. But it's difficult for the big brands to do that because they have broad ranges of portfolio using a bunch of different technologies that you just can't wipe away and say, start over.
Right.
So the benefit that we can do is do that. Clean slate, MINU stands for minerals in the nude, this commitment to all mineral based, but making it beautiful. But that takes education and inspiration, but that's also what makes us new and different. So there's definitely a push in the industry to combine skincare and sun care together. That's definitely, there are brands that have, and great brands that have pushed that thought forward. Neutrogena was a big pioneer in the space in the US. There's lots of newer brands that do it. We are the latest one, but we're doing it in the way that, you know, fundamentally does get across the parallel, sort of all the channels that are going to be important to a consumer: safety, sustainability, and aesthetics, making sure that these traditional compromises that you make across the industry, how do you make that not a factor that everything does become more aspirational? So while it's educational, it's also aspirational and fun for people to try it. We talk about people like this MINU moment where they actually put on this product that they think, oh, mineral sunscreen, like, wow, it feels beautiful. So it's that aspiration that hopes, it's underpinned by education, but it's driven by aspiration in terms of the beauty of the brand and the product.
Very cool. Yeah, it's very well thought out. I really, really like, just hearing you talk about it, it's really interesting to hear your perspective and how like fired up you get about it. So one of the things we chatted about at the very beginning, I would love to learn more about, is you were saying, and I was admitting that I've just never been great about keeping routine. So, you know, for the audience listening today, you know, on average, you have someone similar to me, some older, some younger, but you know, I'm early 30s and I'm a male. What would you say for folks who are like, I've never used any skincare products, don't even know where to start? How does MINU try to fit into that and try to get people to just, you know, use the product on a daily basis, for example?
It's a great question, because that's the main thing, is like, how do you make it easy, simple, efficient? So what we've done is you looked at basically what are the foundational products that if you're going to enter the category, usually people would say, I know I'm either probably supposed to use a moisturizer every day, which again, like is not the true essential product in the category, but we've created something that combines benefits. So it's a daily sunscreen, it acts as a moisturizer, and if you like wearing makeup, it also works as a makeup primer. So it's a bit of an all-rounder essential product. And again, like we step back, we work with the dermatologist to say, what is that all-rounder sort of foundational product that then we over time will build that other adjunctive products that work with. But we wanted to make sure this foundational product was going to be as universal as possible, to make the tent as large as possible. So men, women, older, younger, that everybody would find utility and multiple facets of benefit But underneath the benefit, whether it be, you know, hydration or, you know, other good skincare goodies, making sure that the foundation was like the most exceptional sun protection. Like that's the real starting point. So as an example of what makes us different, usually moisturizers don't have like waterproofing, but we built in waterproofing to ours. Not that we want you to go to the beach. It's not the idea, but it sets up more durable protection. That's going to be, so it's a more uniform film that's going to stay in place longer throughout the day. So it gives you that foundational, like best protection throughout the day. It also gives you these other benefits in terms of like, it looks nice to wear. It feels nice to wear. And it gives you the hydration. So you don't have to use multiple products. It is truly just the one product that you could wear once a day, where that most important usage occasion is in the morning. Because again, like what's your body's wrapper most assaulted by? It's going to be daily sun exposure. That's the most important thing to get you ready for. Your body is naturally repairing itself at night, and you can do lots of things to boost it, but your body's most at risk when you're talking about daily sun exposure.
Got it. And I'm sure that applies to even people. I'm in Chicago. So like, it feels like half the year at this point, I'm in the, you know, dreary, no sun type of weather, but I'm sure it's still affecting me. I'm sure. Right.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, there's all this layers of information in terms of like, whether it's a sunny day, a cold day, cloudy day, ultraviolet radiation. If your eyes are operating, you can see that's radiation coming into contact with your body and what you need protection from. So regardless really of the, there are different UV sort of differences by season. So that's absolutely true. But in terms of, it's a misnomer in terms of, oh, I just need it on a sunny day. I just need it in the summer. Like you said, it's like, if you step back, you think of any good wellness practices. It's never like, right, I need to exercise in the summer when I want to look my best. It's like,
yes,
that's not how it works. You need to be doing it a consistent routine over time. And skincare is absolutely, especially daily sun protection, is no different. The consistency is what gives you the maximum amount of benefit.
It's really interesting too, Adam, because that's such a good analogy to use. And the fitness one makes so much sense to me. And that's something I push really hard, you know, just with, yeah, you know, like I got my parents on the Whoop and all this stuff, trying to just keep track of sleep and high quality life. And with skincare, I also think there's probably something out there to be said, definitely with guys. And I know my circle of friends, this would be like check the box for all of them. Like we all just think we don't need, like we're fine, we're young, like we don't need skin products. What are you talking about? But it's funny, you know, I turned 33 this fall, and really in the last year and a half, I've started to realize like I'm starting to get little lines in my forehead. I've noticed like my skin's been drier than normal. Just like, and again, I don't know if it's just because I'm starting to think about it and pay more attention to it, but I'm like, I think things are changing slowly but surely, you know, and I'm sure part of it's just my age.
And again, like the ironic part is everybody's like, oh, I'm starting to get older. And definitely body changing is what happens. And that's generally when you'd see sun protection, is when people step back, usually mid to late 20s, early 30s, and saying, I'm starting to see signs in my skin. And they think it's intrinsic aging, which is a part of it, but it's much more extrinsic. Like 80 to 90% of what you see is daily sun exposure starting to show up. So it starts when you're a baby, you know, every day it starts accumulating, but that's when you start to see the effects. We call it like, oh, it's aging, but it's actually not. What you're really seeing is what's called photoaging. You know, it's the photoaging from the extrinsic, from the sun, from the UV rays. And that's where you're starting to see it break down your skin and it's having implications in terms of how you wear. And they've done, there's really cool, if you Google anything about twins, you know, twins that, you know, one has been indoors for a lot longer than the others, or if you look at your face half and half between the one that gets daylight from the sun,
oh weird,
the window of the car versus the other side, you can see the differences. So we think it's all intrinsic and there's not a lot you can do. Totally not true. Like the majority of what you can do in terms of if you want to protect your body's wrapper is just use a daily sunscreen. It makes an amazing difference over the entirety of your life.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. I'm learning all kinds of new stuff. I had no idea. So to pivot a little bit, Manu is obviously newer. How long have you guys been around and where are you currently available to purchase for people who are listening just in general?
Yeah, we're brand new. So we just launched February 1st of this year. So we've, you know, multiple years in development, but then launched February 1st. You can buy us online. It's Manu, M-I-N-U, skincare.com. So we've got our direct-to-consumer, but we're also partnered because with Credo Beauty, which is a bespoke retailer in the U.S. And Credo is a basically a very thought-leading industry sort of stalwart in terms of clean beauty. So again, like there's a lot of regulations that are kind of outdated in the U.S. And Credo really stands for this quote-unquote clean beauty, which is really just sort of much more sort of intrinsic scrutiny of materials and material sourcing. So quality of the materials and sustainability. So we wanted to partner with Credo, and they were excited about what we had done because the idea of like, how do you make everything about beauty better?
Yeah.
That's what they're about. So they have, you know, retail locations around the country. We're in all of them as well as online. But the reason, I think the important thing for us is like they're credentialing in terms of what they were trying to do of like push the industry forward in terms of like newer, better beauty that's safer, more sustainable, but also, you know, more beautiful to use. Definitely a fit. And so that's, we're very excited that we sort of mind melded with them and are available on our launch day with them.
Very cool. I mean, that's awesome. So you guys have basically been up and running for 6 weeks, I guess you could say. How has it been so far? I'm sure as a new product coming to market, there's been a million challenges, as I know there always is. But what's kind of been the headline so far?
So far, it's been, I mean, it's been, on number one, it's been very exciting to actually, after years of pre-planning and thinking and plotting, to actually be in market. And so it's been great. I think the tip of the spear has been Credo with their sort of credentialing of us as a brand. We're already their number two sunscreen in their store, you know, across their chain. So that's, it's been an immediate hit. Their customers are very discerning. They've been getting great feedback. So initial very strong traction both with them and then also very good sort of with press. We've had articles at The Cut, Beauty Independent, a bunch of different articles sort of, again, by tastemakers that sort of recognize there was this trend in the market around how do you make better sun care as essential skin care. And so getting recognized for saying, yes, you are a thought leader in terms of how do you make that happen. So amazing press. It's been very supportive so far. And I definitely, from a sales impact and market and sort of, you know, getting those tastemakers in the, you know, menu into the hands of the right people, Credo has been an initial success that they're very happy with us almost from day one, which was amazing.
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge. And, you know, it's, you're just getting started. So I'm sure, you know, this is a great start, but a long way to go. What is year one? Are you hopeful there's anything big on the horizon that you can share, you know, in year one here that you guys hope to accomplish?
I think this thing, as we go into, because while we are daily, you definitely hear the conversation of sun care ramps up during the summer season. So there's still this sort of legacy of like, we only want, or we're going to talk the most about it during the sun season. So as we get into the season of where press even more talks about it, the conversation really ramps up to make sure that we're a part of that conversation as it starts to grow. So that's like, you know, Labor Day through Memorial Day, like making sure that that's when all the news and discussions around what's bad about sunscreen, what's great about sunscreen, to make sure that we're present in that conversation is seen as really adding something new to the conversation. So that's the biggest thing that we're trying to make sure of, like, are we going to have the resonance for this year one during the time where there's the most discussion, both and also in-store traffic when you're talking about working with a retail partner, but also just the, sort of the press and the discussions about state of the art of where the industry is, where every year there's, like you've called out, like, oh, there's all these safety concerns. There's all these questions. Should you be using a sunscreen? Are the sunscreens outside the U.S. better? Making sure that we're part of that conversation, hopefully an important new part of the conversation in terms of where the industry can go.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Like I said, coming from the food industry, getting product into hand is so important. Like getting people to just try it. I'm sure for skincare, it's the same thing. But for you guys, the other challenge is that usually, like, it's not like once. It's not like, you know, for food, you can taste something one time and be like, oh, I like that. I'm going to buy more. For skincare, I'm sure it's like you got to try it for a little bit. You'll start to feel some differences, right? I'm assuming.
Well, that's a little bit of like, that's true for a lot of different segments of the category, but that's also what we tried to make our superpower is that once you immediately try it, like upon application, it's not at all what generally people expect.
Okay.
And so it actually has this little bit of like, we put some pigments in it because, let's see, how do you say, like, usually it's about negatives. It's greasy, it's heavy, it's gross. Our product is called Brightening Sunscreen Mineral. So brightening, an immediate benefit.
Yeah.
And that's something that you feel. And again, like we like for our social content, we want people to film themselves for that first time they use it, because you're like, wow, this thing that is usually so nasty feels like beautiful skincare. And so it does have this immediate wow factor that, again, turns something that a have to into a want to, which hopefully breeds great adoption in terms of, again, you can have that moment of truth immediately. You can immediately feel the difference upon, you know, versus this category where there's just sort of this iconic nastiness that you immediately like, that's not for me. I don't
know. Right.
That's a lot to ask. So it does have that immediate benefit that does give you that proof point. And then underneath it, it does have the quality, like we tested to not just the SPF standards of the US, but we tested to Europe and Asia, which have stricter standards. And so over time, you will definitely see the benefit of having, you know, state-of-the-art protection, but it's that aesthetic wow factor that is immediate. You can feel it immediately. And what we hope is a big plus point, and definitely was a learning from J&J years in terms of, like, once you turn it, you get that aesthetic, that immediacy of benefit, that drives a lot of compliance.
Love it. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. That was a great explanation of something I've always thought, and it doesn't necessarily have to be true, especially with this type of product. So that's really cool to learn. Adam, there's two questions I love to ask at the end, and I would love to keep talking. I feel like I could dive in and ask you 1,000 more questions today, but we'll have to have a part two. The first question I always love to ask, and given that this is my first product in the skincare category, I feel like you might have a good one here, but what would be a book, a podcast, just a source of knowledge that, Adam, you have read, listened to, or seen recently that you would recommend to the audience today?
I mean, in terms of like news, we were featured in Beauty Independent. They sort of have a blog that they put out, but I think consistently, I like to see what they're talking about because they seem to have the pulse of what the industry is doing and going. It's been very inspirational for me in terms of like where to find sort of the state of the art of like where is the industry. They've been pretty insightful, I think.
Okay, that's a great one. Awesome. We'll add that into the show notes for everyone to be able to find. And then the last one, Adam, is just how you get shit done is the simplest way to ask this question. So whether it's pen and paper, apps, what do you use? You know, you were very successful in corporate America for a while, and now you're getting into your entrepreneurial endeavors. What do you use? What tools do you put around you just to get things done, plan out bigger long-term goals, and ultimately just drive your day-to-day?
I think we try to keep it simple. I mean, the team has different tools that we use. I'm very basic in terms of like pen and paper, but I think that the thing that we try to all be consistent about is like, what are the 5 priorities for the day, the week, the month, and making sure that that drives for the year? Like, where are we going? So at very early days, it's pretty clear cut what you need to do. But I think that one thing that we always are very good at is our team is always touching base at the beginning of the week. What do we need to get done? What are our big 5 priorities? And not what are the 20 things to do? And then they're making sure you're always driving to the big ones that are going to make the biggest difference. So our brand is about fewer, better, but I think that that's true for everything, right? Trying to make sure the activities that you're doing, really, are they the most impactful in terms of what needs to happen for now, for the midterm, that then hopefully leads to the long term. You generally have a sense of where you want to go. You adjust that as possible, but planning out the near term, making sure you're staying focused to what are those big things and what they can't be 10. It's got to be very.
Yeah. No, I love that. I use something called the Full Focus Planner, which basically does the same thing. You know, it makes you kind of like write out your annual goals. Each week I have to pick a big 3, and every day there's a big 3, and it does. And it just always helps you just boil the ocean of a million things you could do into what's really important and helps you really move the needle forward. I've used it for 4 or 5 years in a row now, and that's how I've gotten a lot of things done. So love that. Very similar concept. Well, Adam, thank you so much. I'll add links to the website, everything you added, and hopefully we'll get some people trying the new, and congratulations on launch. I would love to stay in touch, and I would love to hear how it's going. I'm excited to see you guys' journey here.
That's a pleasure. Yo, cool podcast, Shane. I listened to a lot of what you had done, and so it was amazing. Like, really cool.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It's so fun getting to meet people like you, honestly, like people that are out there doing things, building things. That's what I have become really, really excited about, to be honest. This is something I love to do every week. So I appreciate that, Adam. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure meeting you, and let's stay in touch.
Absolutely.
All right. See ya.